You know, here at the beginning of this wonderful season of our church, so it's a nice way for us to really come to understand what it is we're entering into. It's also a way for me to plug or give a little publicity to the Monday night series I'll be doing. So for all of you bigger kids or grown-ups, you're welcome to come Mondays starting tomorrow and then the next two after that at 7 p.m. in the Newman Lounge. I'll be doing a series of biblical reflections on Advent. So for today's purposes, I thought we would start with a very simple question. So if any of our young people know the answer to this, you can shout it out. And if the answer isn't coming, then some of our older people can shout out answers too. But I wanted to ask, what does the word Advent mean? Words are important, right? We use this word Advent. It's one of the major seasons of our liturgical year. So what does it mean, Advent? Christmas? Well, it's right before Christmas, so Christmas, Jesus' birthday, it has to do with these things. But the word itself, arrival. Very good. So Advent means arrival. So between these two answers here, we have a good sense of what the church is getting us to think about. So arrival, the arrival of whom, we heard, Jesus' birthday. So this is, you know, pretty simple, right? We're celebrating the arrival of Jesus in a manger 2,000 years ago. Jesus came to us. God came to us in the flesh. But we're also supposed to be very attentive, full of expectation for Jesus' arrival in another way. When else can we expect Jesus to arrive? You know, not just back in the past, but when else? The second coming, right? So we believe that Jesus is going to come again. Jesus is defined in Scripture as the one who is coming. So we're expecting this. And we heard in today's Scriptures and the Scriptures in recent weeks that we don't know when this is going to happen. Jesus tells us this many times. You don't know the day or the hour, but he's coming. And when he comes, that's going to be the fulfillment of everything. And he wants us to be awake and attentive for when he comes. So we have these two comings of Jesus, if you will, back at the incarnation, the first Christmas, and then the second coming, so at the end of time. Now, we can also talk about a third way in which Jesus comes, and we need to be attentive so we recognize him. Does anyone know a third way? Not just at the incarnation, not just at the end of time, but when else might Jesus come to us? Every day, Eucharist, I hear all these good answers being yelled out. So yes, these different moments already in our lives. And of course, these moments in which he comes to us are not the same as that fullness of his presence that we'll have at the end of time. They're not the same as seeing him in the flesh in human form as he walked the earth. But it's very true that Jesus comes to us always. And so this season of Advent is a gift to us from the church to help us to be attentive. Not only so we're ready when he comes at the end of time, maybe that'll be tomorrow, maybe it'll be in thousands of years, we don't know. But we do know that he wants to come to us to make us feel his presence today. At Mass, at a pancake breakfast, and all the different things that happen throughout our day. And so the church is trying to teach us, to train us, to be attentive. Be attentive to Jesus' presence. And so, for the talks I'll be giving on Monday night, if you saw in the bulletin, I named the series, Already But Not Yet. So we know that Jesus has already come to us. And we think, yes, he entered the world. He offers his presence to us. Everything should be great. Everything should be perfect, right? And we believe that he's, it makes you laugh. Because we recognize in our experience that things are not yet perfect. Things are not yet fulfilled. So we as Christians, we live sort of in that tension sometimes, of knowing that Jesus has come to us, continues to, but not yet in the fullness. It's not yet been fulfilled. And so there's a certain art to living as Christians, to knowing how to recognize His presence is already here, but still to kind of tend towards that hope of the fullness of His presence. So what we'll be doing in those Monday night talks, each week we'll take a biblical scene that teaches us something about an encounter with Jesus, then teaches us something about entering into Advent. So tomorrow we'll look at the Magi. We think of our nativity scenes, those nativity sets, the creches, and there's always the three kings. So we can learn a lot by doing a close reading of Matthew, where he talks about the Magi. When we read it closely, I'll give you a hint, we realize he doesn't say anything about them being kings. He doesn't say there were three of them. So we'll talk about some of those things. So what do we know from Scripture? We'll look at who were the Magi. Look at what was this star that they were following. There's been some interesting theories advanced. And then we'll look at some more personal applications. What do we learn about entering into Advent by studying the Magi? What can we learn about these people who came seeking the Lord? The next week we'll look at Zacchaeus in Luke 19. Does anyone know who Zacchaeus was? What comes to mind when you think of Zacchaeus? He's the guy in the tree, right? So Zacchaeus, this head tax collector, realized that Jesus was passing by, but Zacchaeus was short of stature, we're told. But he had this great desire to see this Jesus who was passing by. So what's he do? He climbs up a sycamore tree to get a better look. Jesus sees him and says, Zacchaeus, get down from there. I've got to come to your house today. And we'll study that passage a little more closely and see what we can learn about what it means to have that desire for the Lord, to put ourselves in the position to see Him and then to respond when He calls. And the third and final passage we'll study that third Monday of Advent will be the encounter of Mary Magdalene with the risen Lord in the tomb, which again tells us a lot about the desire that moves us towards an encounter with our Lord. And then what do we do after we have an encounter with Him, but then we still can't grab onto Him, we still can't be fulfilled yet? Because if you remember, Mary Magdalene wants to hold on to Jesus, but He says, don't hold me back, I've still got to ascend to my Father. And we can relate maybe to that experience. We have a good experience of God, we just want to stay there for the rest of our lives. But mysteriously, God sort of leaves us for a while. And we'll talk about what to do with that desire, with that tension, as Christians. So that's sort of a sketch of what we do those Mondays. So again, please come at 7 if you're interested. I'll give a little presentation, then there'll be time for dialogue. And that's been one of the great things about these talks at the parish. Parishioners come, bring in their own experiences of life and faith and expectation and disappointment. And it's a good forum to talk and listen to one another, and to realize that we're not alone on this walk of faith. So we know that Advent is a season of waiting, of expectation. Any of the young people who are listening right now, I want you to think about things that you wait for. Day to day, when you wait, what do you have to wait for? What do you wait for? Wait for Christmas, right? And what is it that gets you excited about Christmas? What makes you wait? Right, all the toys you get. It's exciting. Anything else that you wait for? You wait for the bus. Good. Good. And what do you do when you wait for the bus? Stand there. Stand there. Right. Right. Do we have other things you wait for? You wait for your sisters to get home. Are you happy when they get home? Yeah? What else do you wait for? Till it's your turn and dance, right. What else do you wait for? You wait for Tad? Who's Tad? It's a program in school, so you wait for it. Anything else in your day-to-day that you wait for? Maybe you were in line this morning, really hungry, looking for some pancakes, but you had to wait. So these are all very good examples of how waiting is a part of our lives. Now, usually, we don't like it. It's tough to wait. So I want you to think about what that's like to wait. When you're waiting for the bus, you have the answer, well, what do? You just stand there. And when you're waiting for your turn for something, what does that cause you to feel? Usually a little bit of impatience. You're waiting for Christmas and the presents. So all of us, the young people and the older people especially, it's good to think about what is our experience of waiting. Reflecting on this myself, I realized you start to get into the bad habit if you have to wait. What do? Well, I got a few moments to kill, so you pull out the smartphone and distract yourself or make you feel like yourself feel like you're doing something productive. I like to make my stovetop coffee in the morning, and it takes about 5 minutes. And sometimes it's really tough to wait those 5 minutes. I think, well, I guess I can start morning prayer, or I can maybe read today's gospel and start thinking about something for the homily. They're not bad things, but there's still this impatience, this difficulty we have of waiting with expectation. So Advent calls our attention to the fact that this is part of human life, always, but it's also very much a part of our Christian life, is how we wait. And so one little exercise that I invite you to do today, for the rest of this week, pay attention to those moments when you're waiting. Waiting for somebody else, waiting for your coffee, waiting for the bus. And pay attention to what's happening inside you. That sense of expectation. What does it feel like to wait, to not be fulfilled? Then give that to God. When you reach for the smartphone, when you look to distract yourself some of the time. Before you do that, sit with that little bit of discomfort of waiting. And call to mind the fact that we're all waiting to be fulfilled by Jesus' coming. At the end of time, yes. At the end of our lives, yes. But also in those moments throughout our days when we make ourselves fully present to Him, that's when He helps us to see His presence to us. It's a very simple Advent exercise. Pay attention to how you have to wait and then make that part of your prayer. And see if it doesn't help you to find a little more peace with that waiting. See if it doesn't help you to recognize there's someone waiting for you in those moments, someone who wants to encounter you, our Lord. And this is perhaps a comment geared a little more towards the big kids, towards the adults in the room. But this has a lot to do with our recognizing that during this time on earth, we have to deal with living with unfulfilled desires. We're waiting for something. We're expecting Christ. We're expecting fulfillment. Well, that means we're not yet there. That means we're still unsatisfied. We're still restless. And there's that famous line from St. Augustine, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord." Or there's the famous image from Pascal, "There's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every man and woman. And we try to fill it with other things, but nothing fits because it's a God-shaped hole. Only God can fill that." And even as Christians, even as people who truly believe that God comes to us already, we recognize that, well, we're still dissatisfied. There's still something missing. Otherwise, we wouldn't be waiting for anything. Otherwise, we wouldn't have Advent. We wouldn't expect Jesus' coming. And so part of that art, that Advent art of being Christians, is living responsibly as Christians, that tension of not being fulfilled yet. We get ourselves in a lot of trouble when we let our unfulfilled desires pull us in the wrong direction. But it can be very fertile, very fruitful as Christians to welcome that experience, take it to prayer, and recognize that desire is there because, well, God has planted that desire in us. And Advent is such a beautiful season because it helps us to take seriously our humanity as well. The fact that we're so far, up to this point, incomplete. Yes, we already have a lot of good things. Yes, God's already in our lives. But not yet. We're not yet there. And so Jesus, in all these gospel readings today, we hear, stay awake, be watchful. He's not trying to tell us when exactly the end times are going to come. He's not saying we need to spend our lives trying to calculate through Scripture exactly when the apocalypse is going to come. No, he's trying to instill in us a certain way of living this time that we have. A certain way of living attentively, in a watchful way, that knows how to recognize the Lord when he comes. Any comments or questions on Advent? I've got another Advent exercise for you then. Sort of a prayer exercise. So we talked about the first one would be to pay attention in your day-to-day life, those moments of waiting, that discomfort that comes from waiting, and sit with that. Take that to God. So Advent is a season of waiting. It's also a season of light. And we have our Advent candles, the Advent wreath. Many of you probably have them in your homes, and I encourage you to have them in your homes. So this light is part of Advent. And traditionally, the different candles of Advent, the different weeks of Advent, have come to symbolize different things sort of in our Advent journey, if you will. And the first candle has often been taken to symbolize the need for unity within ourselves. You know, there's one candle burning. In order for us to experience God, love God, love others, we have to find some kind of unity within ourselves. And so the first week of Advent is also a call to quiet ourselves, to find that sense of composure, of unity, that allows us to then be attentive to others. A little exercise for this, to recognize how Christ helps us to do that. Light a candle, turn off the other lights. Now, there's an extraordinary light that comes with a candle. We're not very used to it, most of us these days, because we have so much electricity, the LED lighting, everything is illuminated. But we try turning off the other lights and see what the room looks like by candlelight. Now, kids, many of them aren't listening to me, so this isn't a problem, but don't play with fire or candles alone. If you're going to light a candle, you have to do it with your parents. Adults, you're allowed to do it by yourself, but still be careful. So the exercise is light a candle and, you know, maybe put an image of Jesus, a cross, some kind of religious image there that you see is illuminated by that. And spend some time in silent prayer. Just quiet yourself, dark room, candle lit. Pay attention to the way that light of the candle flickers, sort of bathes the things around it in this almost magical light. And we think about the way that Christ is the light of the world. Christ illuminates our hearts. So first you have to pay attention to how a light illuminates things. And then you start praying with that. Ask Christ to illuminate you as you sit in front of that candle. And then invite Christ to illuminate those dark parts of your life, of your heart. And we all have them. We all have those dark parts, you know, that our selfishness, our jealousies, our fears, our sins. Ask Christ to shine that light, to flicker that illuminating light on them, and to bring unity to us, to recognize that even those dark parts, they're not out of the reach of the light of Christ. But we need that light to know ourselves and to know God. So that's the second little Advent prayer practice. One allows us to slow down, light a candle, and sort of interiorize. What does that mean, that Christ is our light? It's an image that's used really throughout the liturgical year, but Advent in particular, with these Advent candles. One more image, and then we'll close a little reflections unless someone has comments. So it's important to realize that in Advent, season of waiting, but it's not just like waiting for the bus, where you just stand there and you do nothing. Waiting doesn't mean being lazy. Waiting isn't about that sort of inertia. But we see from the readings that the church presents to us during this time that there's this sort of dual movement in Advent. There's God who comes towards us. Jesus is coming in various ways. Today's first reading talks about God sort of rendering open the heavens and coming to us. Jesus tells us to be watchful because the day is coming. So that's one movement, God moving towards us. But then on our part, we're called to be prepared by the way we move towards God. So I invite you to think about these sort of big categories of Advent. As we wait for God who comes to us, what are we doing to prepare ourselves to move towards Him, to be receptive? So these exercises of prayer, these exercises of attention, these are ways that we move towards God. And we have this beautiful dialogue, this beautiful dance, if you will, of our relationship with God. So with that, I would leave you to finish enjoying your pancakes. And John, would you like to put a stamp on things? I know we still have a few minutes. Okay, so enjoy your time. If anyone has comments or questions or deep Advent reflections, raise your hand and we can bring the mic to you. Otherwise, enjoy each other's company and happy beginning of Advent.